talking Canberra. Two double C, we're talking Canberra.
A 2CC Chris Coleman podcast.
Friday afternoons, we talk about money, 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 money. We do that with our money man, Luke Smith from Envision Financial. That's Envision with an E. Luke, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are we?
I'm well. I'm amazed, mate. I'm amazed that we can talk about super so many times because superannuation has been basically compulsory now for, what, 30-odd years, give or take?
Compulsory to have and not compulsory to understand or pay any interest attention to.
That's the bit that sort of confuses me, is that even though it's been around for 30 years, a lot of people just sort of let it sit there in the background and tick along.
And people that know us in the office might get sick of us saying you don't know what you don't know for that exact reason. So I think, you know, us getting together and being able to try and point a few people in the right direction, field a couple of questions and help on the education front can help some people down the track make some informed decisions and improve their position overall.
Now, I know that there are a lot of people in Canberra who have who work in the public service or have worked in the public service, and over time there's been different schemes, and we're going to talk a bit about that today. If you're one of those and you're listening to us this afternoon and you're not sure, if you want to try and get a bit of advice and point it in the right direction, 6255 1206 is the open line number. Give us a buzz, 6255 1206, or you can get in touch with us via text on 0488 266 266. We had a question. I'm sure we had a question from text on last week, and I have it right here. So we'll get to that in just a second. Dennis, if you're listening, we're going to ask you a question that I think it came in like 1 second after we finished last week. So, we'll get to Dennis's question in just a second. But I want to ask first up, because I mentioned this there, we've spoken about the different schemes that have existed for the public service.
Mm-hmm.
CSS, PSS, PSSAP.
Exactly.
Have I got the three?
You do.
Yeah, I got one of them because I've worked in the public service in the past.
Correct.
Now, let me ask you, this actually is a personal question. Obviously, this is generic financial advice. We should say that straight up.
Very much so.
I've obviously not in the public service now, but I didn't roll that over. I kept the stuff that was in the PSSAP scheme in the PSSAP scheme. Was that a good move?
Oh, look, like most things, I think it comes down to people's individual situation. But the key distinction there between CSS, PSS and PSSAP is the first two are defined benefit schemes. So mm-hmm. as the name states, they're defined by a range of actuarial calculations. It is very different structurally to PSSAP, which is a standard accumulation fund, just like an industry fund, a self-managed super fund, a personal fund, and some of the other things that we've been talking about mm-hmm. on previous shows. So PSS and CSS stay where they are. PSSAP can be rolled to another super fund if you were to cease employment with a government agency.
On the other side of that, if you cease employment with a government agency and start to work for a private enterprise under the super-duper U-Bute modern flexibility of superannuation schemes, are you, once you are no longer a government employee, allowed to continue to contribute to the PSSAP or PSS or CSS funds?
Ooh, you've got me there.
That's a Friday afternoon. Don't feel bad. You're not the first person who's not been able to answer that question for me.
I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also preface that by saying it would depend on who you're employed by and who you go and work for as to your employment options, because the choice legislation has opened the door up to having things paid to a range of different places, but always pays to see if the fund can take a contribution from a new employment source before you tell them to put the money in there.
And a few years ago, and just relatively recently, the answer was definitely no.
Correct.
But the landscape, as we keep saying, the landscape does keep changing. Correct. For superannuation.
Exactly.
Right. Now, we've got Dennis's question that I have written down on paper here, but we also have Brett from Watson on the blower. So let's see if we can help Brett out with a question about super. 6255 1206, if you want to give us a call. Brett, good afternoon.
Yeah, g'day Chris, how are you?
We're well, mate. You've got a question about super.
Yeah, so I joined the Navy under MSPS in 1989. I did 7 years. And then from 96 till still currently, I've been working with Defence under PSS. Am I able to roll my MSPS into PSS, or it's two separate?
Two separate funds, two separate rules. Two separate yep. calculation methodologies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so right. Generally speaking, your MSPS will need to stay preserved until you meet a condition of release, and then you'll have some yep. options in relation to access. But you want to keep yep. building up your contributions within the PSS if you're still in there, because like most things, If they're that good, the government shut them down and you need to ride those sorts of funds into the sunset because...
Oh, yeah, I've been paying 10% in PSS since I started.
Good man.
So, and I'm only 47, so it's still a long way to go.
You keep those 10%ers going in there because over some time... That'll be worth its weight in gold to you down the road.
Yeah, what do they say? A couple of $1,000 in your 40s, and you're talking five figures or six figures in your 60s, yeah?
Well, I think Brett's hit the nail on the head there. For all the listeners, if you have the ability and the cash flow to make a 10% contribution, whilst this is general nature in advice, it would be well advised to take advantage of that because of the very generous calculation factors that the PSS fund has when you reach a condition of release and prepare for retirement. So, Brett, great decision. Keep it up.
Yeah, thanks. What is the release? You know, like, so I was born in 1970. Like, how do you work out?
Well, there's a sliding scale of age from 1960 onwards that sees the access age for super go from 55 to 60, depending on your year of birth. So given your age at the moment, your preservation age would be 60, unless there were some other trigger events that could occur in certain situations, like a redundancy, for example, that could open up some of the access options for a scheme like PSS.
Excellent.
There you go. Okay, so start counting down to 2030, Brett.
Yeah.
Scarily enough, mate, it's not actually that far away, Brett. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling
in. Brett.
6255-1206 if you want to give us a buzz this afternoon and get a little bit of advice from Luke Smith from Envision Financial. You can find him online too, by the way. Envision Financial, that's Envision with an E. If you just Google that, it'll all turn up. Now, I think I've held Dennis's question off for long enough in the hope that someone who knows Dennis has also rung him to let him know that we're going to do his question here. So, Dennis on the text says, I took early retirement due to ill health and took my super as a lump sum a few years ago. Now that interest rates are so low, I have little income from term deposit to supplement the DSP. What's a better way to use the money?
Well, look, I think it's, again, everybody's situation is different, but the very low interest rate environment that we're playing in at the moment is forcing people to look at other options and to broaden their investment horizons. I think there are a number of conservatively based assets that you could invest in at the moment that would generate good regular monthly distributions, and you could expect a return there between 3.5% and 5%. But as with any investment, there comes an element of risk, and provided you're happy to take that element of risk on, there are some ways to be able to maintain a fairly conservative approach but get that up to sort of between 3 and 5 without a major change in your overall situation. And I'm definitely not saying going near anything that would have any large amounts of capital volatility. So I think it's just a case of have Dennis touch base, come in, have a coffee, and I can assure everybody that Barb keeps the office at a at 18 to 19 degrees Celsius, so it's a quite a refreshing experience.
I'd hate to see your power bill for the electricity.
You know what? It's, yeah.
You don't care, do you?
Look, I'd rather be cold than sit there with it running off my nose. Let's just say that much.
Now, Luke, I want to back up for a second here because we've talked about CSS and PSS. They're basically just Commonwealth-backed superannuation funds, yeah?
Yes, that is correct. And I've been told I'm not allowed to say it's exactly right. So, Graham, that one's for you. I'll go with you're sort of right, not exactly right.
Okay, all right.
Look, there's a key distinction there. The CSS fund is a pension scheme with a lump sum option.
Yep.
And the PSS is a lump sum scheme with a pension option. So it's flipped on its head. So when you get to retirement, depending on which scheme you're in and what you need and how you need to take your benefits, it will then have a very big difference in the way that you access the money that you've accumulated over your working life. And you need to make sure that you do what's right for you. Too often we have people come in and go, I'm going to take my benefit like this. And I say, why? And they say, oh, because everybody at work's done it like that. And I'm sure if everybody went out and had 100 coronas and came home at 4 in the morning, everybody's husband or wife wouldn't be as happy as somebody else.
Well, it depends how much the payout was.
If it's that good, you may not come home. But yeah, they are very similar, but their calculations and their payment options are slightly different.
There we go. So there are differences in there. And there's no real generic advice on which way is better either, is there?
No, exactly. And I guess that touches on the last point. You can take a pension out of the schemes. You can take a lump sum out of some schemes, and there are some big positives and some big negatives in relation to the implications in relation to tax and flexibility. And with the changes in legislation from the 1st of July, people need to take into account some of the recent changes because...
So there are changes that have had an impact on CSS and PSS?
Correct, correct. That's right. Exactly right. So two key ones there that people need to be really aware of is the transfer balance cap was created, which is the maximum amount of money that somebody can have in a tax-free pension in retirement, and that's $1.6 million. Now, the important thing to consider there is CSS and PSS pensions are assessable against that threshold. So, for example, if you have a $50,000 pension, you've used up $800,000 of your threshold, which means you could only have another $800,000 of tax-free pension money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're lucky enough to finish on a $100,000 pension from the government, then you've used up your $1.6 million threshold. Okay? So any additional funds in super cannot be converted to a tax-free pension account. There are some considerations and strategies they need to take into account to try and limit the tax on super because it will remain at 15% on that excess component. So structuring your super fund and taking advantage of some of the things we've talked about in previous shows can ensure that people can mitigate or reduce the impact of the tax on the excess component for the transfer balance cap. Big issue. Second quick one is,
yep,
with 25,000 now being the concessional limit for deductions into super, in the past, CSS and PSS members were not assessed against that threshold in the same way they are now. There's a notional amount that is tested against the 9.5% concessional payments or superannuation guarantee payments from the employer. So we always say to people, log online, check it out. And for your membership, there'll be a notation on the website.
So it'll actually tell you online,
correct,
that number.
Exactly right. And that's what you need to take into account against your $25,000 concessional limit, because that is a huge change and a lot of people will get caught out being in excess of the concessional limit of $25,000 come July, and the tax implications are not pretty.
Those rule changes that you mentioned, they really affect people who are finishing work now and are going on to the retirement side of things. If you retired 5 years ago, there's no...
No, they are.
There
they
is
are
an
in
impact
the
there as well.
Well.
Okay.
Exactly right. So you could have a scenario where I retired 5 years ago, I took my pension, I took my lump sum out of CSS or PSS, and with the change in rules, the introduction of the transfer balance cap, I now need to reassess and check out how I have things structured, because if you do have a significant pension from any of the defined benefit schemes, be it CSS, PSS, DFRDB or MSBS, so the military guys...
Can you throw any more letters at us there, by the way?
There's the next four shows of acronyms right there. But it's very important to make sure that they've reassessed their situation, because there are tax implications if you're in excess of that $1.6 million cap. And with the right strategies, you can negate a large portion of that.
Okay.
So it doesn't affect you too much.
Yeah. While we're talking about people here, generally we're talking about sort of late workforce and early retirement, early days of retirement.
Yep.
If you've got a 25-year-old in your family who's just started out in the public service, it's worth actually trying to have a conversation with them as well, isn't it, about what's happening now?
Very much so. Yeah. Again, I won't say you're exactly right. I'll say you are extremely correct. Good behaviours...
Is there a difference?
As we've talked about in the past, starting with good behaviours and managing bonuses and increases in salary and taking advantage of how you build up your benefits, especially in the PSS for people that are in there, building up your accrued benefit multiple by making a 10% contribution has a huge, huge impact on your final benefits. And if we were going to take a blanket piece of advice that is obviously general in nature, is if you're not at 10%, I'd recommend you consider it and make that your first move with increased savings, pay rises, and any sort of spare cash, because that over a number of years can, we've seen in some situations, make hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference.
And I know that there are rules and regulations about how much you can dump in, especially getting on to the later stages of your working days, because if you've managed to pay off the house, pay off the car or whatever, and suddenly you don't need a lot of your income coming in, you used to be able to dump a heap into your super. That's all changed as well now, hasn't it?
Correct. That's exactly right. So from the 1st of July, the non-concessional cap was reduced to $100,000. It was previously $180,000 a year, which means that over a rolling three-year period for people under the age of 65, the most you could put in is $300,000. And then there was obviously the recent passing of the homeowners downsizing rules, which then can allow some additional monies to go in. But people need to be really careful about being previous members of those funds, because the rules apply to them even though they did retire in the past. Make sure if you do have a significant pension, you check the structure and you check the way your income's earned.
There you go. And you can find out more about financial health checks and so on online at the Envision Financial website. Before we let you go this afternoon, Luke, we're not going to forget it this week. The acronym of the week is a TTR, and that's very appropriate TTR. For today's conversation.
Exactly right. So TTR stands for Transition to Retirement Income Stream. Okay, transition to retirement. Basically, that means that under the legislation, you have the ability to access your superannuation whilst you are still gainfully employed, provided you have met a condition of release, i.e. you're 55 years and older. And it's a really good way of being able to add some additional funds to the bank account if you wanted to go to your boss and say, look, I don't really want to work every Friday, but every other Friday or 4 days a week would work great for me. And you can then draw some money out of your superannuation, continue working on a full-time or part-time basis, and make sure that your cash flow and your lifestyle isn't impacted to a great degree. So it's a really good lifestyle tool, and it lets you get hold of some capital if you need to buy that car before you retire.
There we go. So have the late life crisis as opposed to the midlife.
Exactly right.
Luke, we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks' time, hey?
All right. Sounds good, Chris. Thank you very much.